it doesn't make sense, I didn't think it's just that, yeah.
I don't have to change my word, I thought, you know.
Oh. You guys are cheating, huh? That's the one disadvantage to having actual verses. You can look up the translation. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the way. And then you can, it'll save us a little time going through it in class, too. Because you'll probably all be able to check it out yourself, you know. Especially you got Rotherham or something. Well, lesson 40. We'll go through the exercises on this. These next few lessons are going to go rather rapidly, you'll see, because we're not going to be... And one nice thing is we've got verse numbers now, so we can just assign a verse to everybody instead of having to try to figure out where to stop the thing and so forth. So it's kind of nice. So lesson 40, I just had you do part A, number 1, number 8, number 16. So maybe we'll start over here with John. You can do number 1, and we'll move around the room.
Garish. Mm-hmm. Exactly, white
garish. Yeah. White garish. Mm-hmm. Anashim, Ba'amayim, Ulo, Shabu. Okay. He drove away the men twice and they did not return. Okay, he drove away the men twice and they did not return. Okay, good. And question?
What is acting as? Is it an adverb?
Yeah, kind of an adverb. It's got a noun type ending, you know, mm-hmm. But it's an adverb, really, functioning as an adverb.
Because
it doesn't really have any.
It looks like it should be an adjective.
Almost like an adjective, but
it doesn't fit that way.
No, it doesn't. It turns out that it's got plural ending just the other, but it's actually a dual ending, and it's not really going with the adjective. It's just its position there, but it would be an adverb. Okay, number 8. Tony, you want to take a crack at that one, or you want to pass? Huh? Okay.
Well, yes, you're at.
Oops. Which one are you at? No, number 8.
Oh.
We're not just, we're going 1, 8, and 16. Yeah, right. Well.
Me'enu.
Le'echo. Le'echo.
Yeah.
Okay, Habehemoth. Mm-hmm. Habehemoth.
Hatevuchot.
Okay, Hatevuchot, right. Okay. Question, translation? Now this is kind of a good one. This is you've got a good sampling of Hebrew grammar here.
Yeah.
Bringing out of the treasure house old things and new here for you. PL verb to refuse. So me'anu would be they refused. Perfect. Third person. Okay.
They refused to hear.
Now that's from achal, to eat. They refused to eat. So they refused to eat, but you did get it as an infinitive, so that's good. The wrong one. So they refuse to eat, and then here's your direct object.
Well, that's what I really have no idea.
Okay, but do you have the second last?
the great something or...
Kind of, but it's an animal. It's actually the plural of animals. In this case, it's used in a plural sense. Behemoth is used in a plural of majesty sense also for the beast of beasts.
Right.
But this is behema in the plural, so it'd just be beasts, yeah. Animals. Okay, and then what kind of animals? We've got an adjective here. Well, I don't want to say too much. Okay, it's built from the verb to slaughter here, and I think we've given it, did they give it here in this lesson?
No, it's a double
class. Oh, okay.
Top one on 39.
Okay, yeah, that's where it was. Yeah, slaughter. Okay, and then you have the verb tavach, to slaughter. So these are slaughtered beasts. So they refuse to eat the slaughtered animals, slaughtered beasts. Yes, and it's passive. The passive participle. Yeah.
Okay, so it would be the being slaughtered beast.
Yes, or having been slaughtered, or you know, the slaughtered ones. Yeah.
The slaughtering beast or the carnivorous beast.
That shurik there is your tip off.
Yeah.
It's passive participle.
If it weren't passive participle, we could think of
it as the slaughtering beast or something. Yeah, if it weren't passive, it was just a participle. Mm-hmm. And then they might be beasts that were doing slaughtering, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just your passive participle. I can't remember how far back we had that. Before we had Niphal.
34.
Lesson 34, okay. Right. So you had your passive participle and infinitive absolute in the same chapter there. And that's kind of tricky, too, to throw one of those in on you, because you're all prepped for NIFALs and PLs and so forth, and here you get one of these. Yeah, the passive participle.
I didn't notice that
Uh-huh.
It's got a different bow point
on it.
Than what
it is in
the
lesson
guide.
Hmm.
Is that the
perfect?
Uh-huh. I think you're looking at the imperative.
Yeah, that's the right form for the perfect. This is just a perfect third-person plural. So it's near the top of your page. Just may on new.
Yeah, right here. Yeah,
okay.
Well, that's
got a double minute.
It's
just. Okay. You got it there?
Okay.
And this is just a perfect form. Okay, Eric, number 16. No, do you? At least you were consistent.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's a
dot. Oh, yes, for the we form, yeah, the only difference. Well, you've got the doubled nun and you've got the shawa and the stress change, too. Well, no, the stress can be... No, yeah, it'll be a different stress. So, may anu. Mm-hmm. Full patak instead of khatif.
I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It can rise up and smite you sometimes. All right. Eric, number
16.
Mm-hmm.
She refused to wash the garments.
Right. She refused to wash the garments. Okay. Good. And then that's just from this, the verb to wash we had in this chapter, I think. That's not on the vocab list. Where did we see that? I thought I just saw it. It is in here? Yeah, I know. We just saw it. Uh-huh. Where is it? 38, 39. Okay, yeah, it's in 39. All right, yeah, rachat, to wash. Okay. Then, now we're going to skip down to the reading, Joseph and his brothers, the final test. It kind of gives you the scenario here. After meeting with Joseph and obtaining the release of Simon through Benjamin's presence with him, the sons of Jacob set out again for Canaan with provisions they had obtained in Egypt. Joseph had had a silver goblet planted in Benjamin's sack, and as soon as the brothers began the return journey, he sent his men after them to examine their baggage, find the goblet, and accuse them of theft and treachery. Joseph then expressed his willingness to allow all the brothers except Benjamin to return home, but Judah stands up to this final test and delivers the following plea. So this is the situation. And so we're taking this right from Genesis 44, verses 18 to 26. Vocalization slightly altered, I think mainly dealing with things in pause, and there's slight vocal vowel point changes because of accent and so forth, and I don't think he's observing those. And typically he won't do that. Okay, we'll get a little bit more in the next chapter about, I think it's next chapter on pause, or the chapter after that. Yeah, next chapter on plausible forms. Maybe we'll get to that today if this goes quickly. Okay, it's a big if, but we'll see. Peter, go ahead. Verse 18. Let's take it verse by verse.
Why you got Yehuda, why you over be Adonai?
Adonai.
Mm-hmm. He's a bear now.
The ears of instead of ear of, it's plural. So Ozne is the dual, you know, the construct of the dual form, Oznaim. So Judah approached him and said, please, I pray you, my Lord, let your servant speak. Let, I pray, your servant, almost, it's got that na in there. Your servant speak a word in the ears of my Lord and do not be angry. That's kind of an interesting expression there, do not be angry. It's got the jussive of chara with af, nose, you know, so there was that idiom, you know, that letting, you know, to be angry in the nose, as it were, the nostrils flaring and so forth. So that was given quite a while back. Yes, afakha, there's afakha is nose. So you kind of translate both of those, the verb and the afakha, as be angry. So do not be angry with your servant, because you are like Pharaoh. Okay.
Is that idiomatic? In other words, I'm just talking about anger in a particular person that is going to have the off in there. Or is it intense?
It's more intense, I think. More intense. You can get by with just, you know, the verb, but to put nose in there, it's really expressive. It's almost indicating, you know, the nostrils are flaring and the, you know, the real action is taking place. So I think it's more powerful. He really became angry, in other words. And it was visible. You know, it was a visible anger. And so he says, do not do that. It didn't really happen in this case, but he's kind of anticipating what the heathen, you know, to his mind, it's a heathen ruler, and that's the kind of thing that they can do. Okay.
He is showing cause, but because you're...
Yes.
In other words, I don't care if it weren't for the fact that you're just like Pharaoh.
Right. Yeah, don't be angry because you're like Pharaoh and you can do to us as Pharaoh would.
Or is also the Kamoka Kafara, kind of a buttering
them
up a little bit.
I think it's both, yeah, because he's trying to be real submissive, real... You know, he recognizes the position. I know you're like Pharaoh. I know that, you know, there's nobody in this land that's higher than you except Pharaoh. And if you get angry at us, we're in trouble. So, you know. So do not be angry. We implore you, you know. And the Na here, too, you can kind of see, you'll see Nas especially. You know, he's talking up to somebody who's in authority, and there's a more of a politeness, a carefulness of the words that are chosen. And, of course, that idiom there, kamocha kafaro, we're given in the vocab. It's a, like you, like Pharaoh, you know. In other words, you are like Pharaoh. Okay, any other questions on that? All right, John?
The way the King James translates, they have saying where we have my Lord, they have it as evocative. Kind of,
oh, my Lord. Mm-hmm.
Is that a style, or are we going to see evocative or in structure? Or
it is vocative, period. Just because I pray you, my Lord, you have allow, you know, unto you, well, excuse me, it starts over here, Adoni, it's the, yeah, Vayomer be Adoni. Okay. Yeah, it's an evocative address, just from the position that it holds. And King James has a tendency to put an O in front of anything that's evocative. But even if we translate it, and Judah approached him and said, please, I pray you, my Lord, that's still a evocative idea. You're addressing someone. And so they just put an O in there. In King James, that's the old way to use an address. If this were in Greek, you might see kuria there with the evocative form on it. So it is evocative. It's just a matter of how you translate evocative. And today we seldom say, oh, someone, you know, they did that all the time in King James English. So that's mainly a King James difference. But you could go ahead and put an O in there, too. If you want to make it real clear this is evocative, then go ahead and do that. Okay. Uh-huh. I am not sure. He says it's a rare particle of entreaty. So it may or may not be derived from that. It may just be it might be, but I'm trying to see, you know, in me. Yeah, I think it might be stretching it. It may be derived from something entirely different. He says it's rare, so they may not be able to have enough to really derive it from. It'll be interesting to look it up, see if they give any derivative. Is that what you're doing there, John? It'll be interesting to see if they do derive it from that, or if they make it a pocketed form of some verb or something. It's hard to know for sure. It's a good thing he put a footnote on it that we wouldn't have guessed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, it's not a whole lot of data to go by. And, of course, the context then with the Adoni and so forth, you can kind of see it's got to be in some kind of sense like that. But it'd be interesting to see if it's derived from a verb and just a flopped-off version or something, if there's a three-hey, two-yos verb or something with this pattern or what. He calls it a particle, so it may not be.
It says it's always with Adoni or Adonai.
Mm.
It's supposed to be a construct from Bani, which is entreaty.
Oh, okay. A construct form from, like an infinitive construct from that verb. Okay. How's Bani spelled?
With
Ayin. Okay. So it's Beth Yod Ayin?
No.
Or just base iron. Oh, okay. Well, that would be interesting. Okay, while he's checking on that, we'll resume. Well, what he's saying is it may be a noun form, a construct form of a noun in treaty.
It says noun masculine singular, and then he's got a big R in here, a big R for root, maybe root.
Uh-huh.
Base, iron, A.
So okay.
Three.
I was wondering if there's a 3A in there.
With E, or iron, here it goes, with the noun masculine singular root of awa.
Mm-hmm.
Iron, wow, A.
They're given lots of possibilities then. When you have such a short word, you know, if you know something's been chopped off, you really got trouble because there's lots of possibilities.
That root they give to make, to swell, or to boil up, to seek, ask, or request.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
And from the nipple to swell out or to be sawed out. So, and look up awa here.
Okay. Sometimes you get into rather intriguing things here. Okay, number 19, while he's doing that, who's up next? Doug? Get a short one here. Okay.
My Lord inquired of the servant, saying, do you have a father or a brother?
Yes, okay. My Lord inquired of his servants or asked his servants, saying, do you have a father or a brother? Okay, there's that particle O there, meaning or. Good. That's pretty straightforward. Did you find anything more there, John?
Excuse me. I'm
walking
here. Awa is to deal for perversely or to sin. And nipal is to be bent with pain, to be bowed down with sorrow. So maybe the idea here is he was in an attitude of being...
bowing down, pouring in sorrow.
And the tree is
okay. Yeah. Okay.
Huh.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
But after all of that, you can see why he just says a rare particle of entreaty. Yes, Eric.
Can you say it? Prayer asking him by the usage of the language in the accusative as a participle or particle of entreaty, or rather of asking pardon, always followed by Adonai or Adonai.
Okay.
Properly with a petition, with asking, or with asking, requesting, we come to the German thesis.
Okay. So it's like our word please, but it's real, you know, very strong, imploring. Okay, good.
Imploring.
Yeah.
Humbling.
Yeah. You can almost get that sound. Be. Be Adonai. Be Adonai. And you can be sure they say it with emotion, too. It's not just a monotone. Okay. The Hebrew says almost everything is with emotion. If you ever hear people speaking Hebrew, it's just not a... they call it a dead language, but...
that's what interests me about it, is the fact
yeah.
that there's
keep
saying Adonai, and
mm-hmm.
they've got Na on the end of it.
Right. Yeah, you can... there's no question about sensing a flavor of this when you hear it. You know, the whole thing's an entreaty, and you're picking up these things. And that's why I say that some things are hard to translate, but you sure feel it when you read it in Hebrew. I mean, it's just... it's transmitting something to your mind that... no question about. Okay, 19 we did. 20 is next. Right.
Menomer, El, Adonai, Adonai.
Yeah, Adonai in this case.
Adonai. Yes, Lanu, Ba, Zakin, Weyelet, Zakunin, Katarn, Wa'akim, Nate.
That's a good one.
Here.
Yeah, why you what there?
Who? Lakado. The Lakado.
Yeah, Lakado.
The demo. What are you? Ahebo.
Okay. A lot of words look the same there. Okay, go ahead.
And we said to my Lord, there is to us an old father and a young boy born in old age, and his brother is dead, and he is left, he alone from his mother and his father loves him.
Okay. Did you say, and his father loves him? Okay, good. Okay, good. And we said to him, and we said to my Lord, we have an old father, or there is to us an old father, aged father, and a young child of his old age, something along those lines. I can't remember how you put it.
Born
of his old age, yeah, that'd be fine. Were you taking born from the Yella there? Or were you just translating loosely? Okay. So in other words, yeah, I just was checking to make sure that...
Oh, that was old age, and I can't
Yeah, zikunim is a zaken, is old age, and. Oh yes. Let's see. Looks like a passive participle again. That's probably what you got your born of. It's a passive participle.
Having become old.
Yeah. Yeah, there was an idiom. I think it was probably footnoted in one of the lessons. Child of his old age.
Yeah.
This is kind of taking a function as an adjective, though, really. It's,
mm-hmm.
Yes, Eric?
The word here, kamam. That is a different spelling. The comma there with some other function. Usually it's katon.
Yes, it is. Right. Unless this is considered to be katon with a kamas chatuf. That's possible too, just a shortened form. He's usually trying to, clean those all out. Where there's it may be because of things in pause, and there's been a change, or in other words, the accents in the verse. That sometimes affects that. Mm-hmm. They don't give an option for it, do they? Okay, that's what I would suspect. It's just been an accentual change. I think he was trying to get those, change those so that they wouldn't appear, but this one he might have missed. You might check the text, if anybody's got the text, to see if that's what's in the text, too. It's probably what it is. Okay. So.
They just show it as a variant spelling.
Just a variant spelling, is that all they say? Okay. It may be just plain variant. Or it may be just because of the pause situation here. We're going to talk about it in the next chapter. That's not really one of the pause rules. I don't think Holmes ever changed just because of pause. But there are funny things that happen because of meter and rhyme. And if there's optional forms, it may be an optional form because of that. And, they decide to choose that one in this case because of patterns of accent. Okay. So, and a child of his old age... And his brother is dead, and he alone is left, or he is left alone, or whatever. I can't remember how you said it, Price.
He is left, he alone.
Yeah, he is left, he alone. That'd be fine. And he alone is left, he is left, he alone of his mother, and his father loves him. Okay. We're translating it of his mother. It's literally a salamah there to his mother. But I think it's with reference to his mother. In other words, he alone is left with reference to his mother. In other words, at that particular mother, he's the only one that's to her. He's the only one that belongs to her. So it's that idea of possession again. So we would translate it up. Okay, verse 21, going back to John.
Vortomer el abedeka.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one.
Horiduhu.
Yes, Horiduhu.
Horiduhu.
Okay. That's a real good one.
Elai wa Ashima.
Asima. Those things will slip in there often.
Allow.
Okay. They give you a footnote on that Horiduhu there. Okay. It's a hifil, so we haven't had hifils yet, and it's a hifil, and it's also got a suffix on it, an additional suffix.
And you said to your servant, bring him down to me and let me put eyes upon him.
Okay. And you said to your servant, bring him down to me and let me put eyes upon him, you say? Set my eyes upon him? Yeah, that's what it literally... It means, let me put eyes upon him, yeah. But it means it in the sense of looking at him. Yeah, all right, okay. Right. Okay, good. Yeah, that Horiduhu is a real good one. It's a hifiel, and it's a imperative, and it's a one-yod verb from Yaraz, remember, to descend or something like this. So you're causing to descend. So you're bringing him down, you know. Kind of interesting. We'll get into all of that later. That's got another suffix on it.
What was it on eye?
Oh, let's see. Eyes, yeah. Well, let's see. A knee. Yeah, it would be eyes, still plural. My eyes. So let me place my eyes upon him. Oh, did I miss that? Yeah, it should be my eyes. Yeah, let me set my eyes upon him. Oh, okay. No, it's just it's a vowel suffix there. Yes.
Servants, plural, your servants.
Let's see, your servants. Yes. Right. Yeah. The serial there. I mean, the segol yod tips you off on that. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes that's the only thing that really triggers it. But it's your servants, plural. It's your singular, but it's servants, plural. So he said, you said to your, the your part is singular, and the servant's part is plural. You see what I'm saying? You don't see what I'm saying? Okay. Okay. Yeah, right.
Now, what's the singular form on that one? If it were your servant?
Your servant, that would almost be the same, but there'd be the yod would be gone. And that would be something, avdecha, something like that. And then you'd have a shwa. Huh? Yes, right. There'd be a shawa there. Mm-hmm. Avdecha. Avadecha, probably. Okay. Any other question? Okay. That's one thing to keep your eyes open for is that yod in the possessive suffixes. That yod is, you kind of think of it as almost as the yod from the construct plural, you know, as a just kind of tip off to the plural. Good for recognition purposes. Okay, then, 21, let's see, that was 21, wasn't it? Okay, 22, Tony?
Wanomar.
Wanomar? Mm-hmm.
El Adonai. Lo, you call.
Mm-hmm.
Anahar. Laedo. Yes. Abu.
Aviu. Yeah, Aviu, there's a Hirik Yo there. Kind of that, you know, that funny suffix. Yeah. Or Aviv, if you want to pronounce it. Tel Aviv, you've heard of, that's the same word here. Looks just like, you know, except they got Tel on the front. It's kind of the mound of our fathers or something. Probably what it means. Of my father. Aviu again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know it. It kind of depends on what pronunciation system you adopt. But this is one of the reasons why some of the books teach you to pronounce a final wow as a V sound. And that makes it easier to pronounce something like this. Instead of saying Aviu, it would be Aviv is easier. That's the way I heard Aviv, yeah. I really don't object if you do it that way. That's the way I learned it originally. Okay. Yeah, well, me. All right. Translation.
I'm going to put the idea in more. And it caused it to be said to the Lord.
Okay, we'll stop here first. This would just be, this is kind of tricky, but that nun is just the first person plural form. And this is just, and we said. There isn't any causative or anything you have to worry about here. Because that nun is...
I saw the double nun there. Yeah.
Were you thinking of Nifal, or were you thinking of something else? Or, oh, right, okay. No, it's not a PL. It's just that double nun is only because you get a dagesh in the first letter on the wa consecutive anyway. That's part of the wa consecutive. is to double the first letter. And this letter happens to be a nun because it's the prefix on the first person plural imperfect. So wa nomer, you get a retraction of stress there too. So they had, you know, wa yomer, wa nomer were the, you know, the, there was several of them like that that got retracted stress. So when we said to my Lord, okay?
We could not prevail the young man to abandon our father.
Okay, his father.
His father. And abandon his father. Well, this thing down here says, if he abandoned me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite understand how that could be, but...
Okay, we'll try to look at that. Yeah. Yeah.
If he abandoned his father, he would die.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's look at... Okay, there isn't anything that's stated as if. It's just from clause relationships that's coming. So, going back to the beginning, we said to my Lord, lo yukal hana'ar la'azov. That would mean, better translated, the lad is not able to leave his father. Or the lad will not be able to leave his father. The lad is not able. See, akal is the, yakol, is the perfect form. That was to be able. So it's kind of an auxiliary verb. And then you use an infinitive with it. So you get that la'azol there, infinitive construct. So the lad is not able to leave his father. So that's your first clause. And then wa'azav, that's just a perfect form, and if he abandoned his father, and then wameth, and he died, you know, he dies. So it's just kind of saying they're getting the if there, but you almost get it, some, a sense like this: and he abandoned his father, and he dies, you know. And so you're getting something like. If then is coming from kind of a sequence here. This happens and this happens, you know. And we almost do that sometimes in English. We say he goes to the store and she'll be upset, you know. And what we mean is if he goes to the store, she'll be upset. So that's the kind of an idea that's coming from this. And so you can translate an if then just because of the clause relationships. Yes.
Who dies?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. That has to be gleaned from context, because you know you just kind of, because it's just one mate, you know, it's just real, you know, third person, but who? It would kind of depend on the situation. If the context was such that the boy was sickly and he was about on the verge of death, and if he left home he dies, you know, then you might understand it that way. On the other hand, if it's in this context, I think it's pretty clear that the father's the one that's going to, you know, if he abandons his father, he's going to die. The father's going to die. Actually, you can put the same ambiguity, though, in English, so you can slip out of this and not have to commit yourself. You can just say, if he abandoned his father, he would die. You know, that's what I did. But I think he's probably talking about the father in grief.
But... then if I want to clarify this for some other things, is that in a process, if we're going to just analyze it properly, is it proper to make it the he, in this case, from the idea, refer back to the direct object, or is it more proper to refer back to the previous? In this case, it would be a pronoun, which would then go back to, in other words,
it can go back to the object, it could go back to an indirect object, it could go back to just about anything. Yeah. And that's true in Greek, and that's true in, you know, see, in Greek, for example, your relative pronoun can refer back to an antecedent that's in any case. It's not going to necessarily follow the case of what, it's going to follow a case that's appropriate to its clause. And so, that's what generates certain ambiguities. And that's true in English, too. It's true in Greek. It's true probably in most any language.
There's no more weight than to go back.
No, not necessarily. Not just in a... Generally, you have to kind of... There's a lot of factors we look at when we try to decide that. And in Greek, sometimes you have you have a concord element where you've got, you know, your different genders, and that can help you eliminate certain possibilities. If it doesn't line up with the gender, you can, that'll help. It doesn't always help, because sometimes all the nouns are in the same gender. And then you've got the old problem again. But which case it is isn't going to help you. Sometimes proximity, you know, just the one that's closest. If there's ambiguity when you're speaking, you're generally going to want to refer it back to the one that's closest. But you can't always rely upon that, because it may not always be the case. So you have to kind of go by the semantics of it and kind of see what's gone before and what follows. Follow the train of thought that the person's got. See, whenever you see pronouns involved, or when you see verb forms in Hebrew, for example, that without the stated subject, that include kind of a pronoun idea. Technically, we don't have a pronoun here, but in effect we do, because we've got a verb form that says he died, and the he is understood, and that he is in English a pronoun, and it's got to refer to something back there. And when you see that, the fact that you can use a pronoun is usually an indicator that you've already made it pretty clear who you're talking about from the context. So you can get by without having to repeat it. And so you have to use that kind of a philosophy to try to go back and see which one's most likely candidate. And admittedly, there are places, both in English and Hebrew and so forth, where it's ambiguous, technically, grammatically, but it may not be ambiguous if you look at the whole meaning of the phrase, and I think that's what has to decide it here. But that's a typical problem in language. It's not something that only Hebrew will have a problem with.
I seem to recall that in English, though, the general rule was as it were, you move it up until you come to your previous noun.
Mm-hmm. In other words, it's proximity, trying to get to the closest one.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's generally going to be the case.
Did that apply in the
foreign
languages too?
Well, maybe not as rigidly, but the idea, I think, is still going to be there. In Greek, it's going to be a little more tough, because they may have... change the order of the words and so forth, and have the subject further at the end or at the beginning or something like that. So you can't always look at it quite that way in some of those other languages. But in general, I think proximity is one of the things you go by, the closest thing. You're not going to go way, way, way back up here if there's something else down here that fits and qualifies soon, relatively quickly. But I just give a little caution to some of these other languages, because the word order rules are different, and it may not always give you the right answer. In this case, you see, if you could think of it, the Azav, he would abandon his father. You see, you could have the Wameith referring back to the father, or you could have the Wameith referring to the suffix on father, namely his father. And technically, his is closer. I mean, the suffix part is closer to the word Wameith than the word father is. So if you go purely by proximity, you may conclude that this is referring back to the son, and he's the one that's going to die.
That's what I had when I was putting
the sentence. Yeah. Yeah. But... See, that isn't going to be a hard and fast thing, because I think in this case we're going to have to say it's the father that he's worried about. He's worried about the father dying, not worried about the son dying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he's old, because he's with grief and so forth, yeah. Question, yeah, Peter?
Okay, you walk, you call.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an imperfect
yod? No, it's just it's an imperfect one yod. It's kind of an irregular verb. I think they gave the whole paradigm for that thing back there a while back. And I think it's just a call. But it's a funny verb.
It's
trying to find
call.
It.
Normally
it's yod call. Yeah, okay.
Yod call. No, normally that's what it is, right?
Yod
call, that's a verb form.
Right. Yod call, tokal, tokal, so forth. Yeah, let's see.
Remember somewhere that it's switched.
Yeah, where did we see this?
It's around 39 in the middle, right? The verb.
139.
That's the regular form that you use in the pre-formative.
Okay, there it was. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's funny. They've got... I'm sorry. I was looking at another verb. Okay. I was looking at a call. Okay. Now, that's fine. This is correct. Yeah, you call, to call, so forth. And the verb itself, yakol, it's irregular in the perfect also. You've got a kolom in the second syllable. So it's just an oddball period.
Also listed as a football.
Of the same verb or a different one?
Football future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It looks like the hofal in this verb may turn out to be the same because it's a one yod. And the forms may turn out to be the same. That will happen.
They don't show up here as one yod.
They only list it as a hofal on that form? Interesting. I'm quite sure it occurs this way. Sure, you're sure the spelling's the same? Exactly the same. Got to look for every detail.
Yeah. They list those two variant spellings, but comments and with the pop-up. But other than that, And the other one, that Ubalu down here is third person masculine. But
what root verb do they give it? Trace it to Yaka. Okay.
That's also listed as whole ball future, though.
Oh, I see what they're doing then. They're calling the whole thing a hofal. And then what they're saying is that this is kind of like a deponent verb almost. They're calling the whole verb a hofal, period. And then what we're saying is that what we think is call is really a hofal form, and there's no call form. So they may just, different grammarians may define it differently. In other words, this book seems to call it an irregular call. That's calling it a hofal. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Verse 23, then, I guess is what we're up to next. And Tony was last. Eric? Okay.
And you said to your servant, if your little brother will not stand with you, then you will not see my face again.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah, the same kind of thing here. We've got an if then, and the if is really clearly stated here in that first clause. So you can gain the idea of the then just from that setup. Okay. Question?
Yeah. You've got that note 5 on Tosifun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that Tosifun, does that mean you will not see again? Or is that note supposed to be essentially to include zero?
Oh yes, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I think it means you will not. He put C in parentheses here. Just means you will not again then see my face. See, when if you look at footnote 5, it says you will not parentheses see parentheses again. I think what he means by that is that this verb only means you will not again, and then liroth is to see. It's kind of an auxiliary verb type situation. And the C comes from Leroth. That's why I put in parentheses here. What he might have better done is just put a 5 after Leroth, put marks around the whole thing, and then just have that whole thing you will not see again.
So what would you give it to you will not again?
Yeah, it's kind of like you will... you will not again to see my face. But, of course, we wouldn't say it that way.
You said to be seeing, or would that be...
Yeah, it's just an infinitive to see. It's just an infinitive construct. So it's just kind of talking about the act of seeing. So you will not again see my face. Mm-hmm. Not see my face again. To check that, I haven't looked at that verb up. That would be a real challenging one, I'm sure. Sure what it would be right now. Looks like it might be have a hifiel possibility there, but maybe not. Could be a one yod hifiel. I won't worry about it right now. We'll maybe somebody want to take a look and parse that one. It's a looks like a real dandy. Okay, verse 24. Got a few minutes left here. We can cover. Peter. Okay.
And it was as we descended to you, and it was as we descended to your servant, my father. No, ascended. And it was as we ascended to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord.
Okay. And it was as we ascended to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And it came to pass, or it was, that when we, you could put the when in there if you wanted to, when we came up or ascended to your servant, my father, and we told him the words of my Lord. Okay. Yeah, you'd have to kind of set it up a little bit differently. You could say, and it came to pass that when we came up to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. Or the way you had it, and it was... Oh, and as, okay. Yeah, that's all right too. As we came to your servant, came up to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. Okay. Oh, did you look it up?
Yeah, they don't have a noon on the end.
Okay, that's probably a paragogic noon or something. You don't know what that is yet. Sometimes they just stick a noon on things for fun. They call it a paragogic noon. That's caught me more than once. Okay.
Yasaf,
Yisrael future. Okay, from what, Yasaf?
Yes.
Okay, I guess right. How about that? The noon I couldn't think of, but it must be a paragogic noon. I can't remember. Paragogic means kind of led beside, from para and ago. And it just kind of, you know, the noon is kind of led beside, you know. I looked it up once, and it happens every once in a while, and it's really, you know, I can't remember what form I was looking up one time, and couldn't figure out what that noon was doing there. And very few of the grammar books even mention it. I just happened to find it in one obscure book or someplace where what it was. Or I think maybe one of those, he doesn't say anything about, you know, paragogic noon or any kind of a little mark there. Okay. Maybe it wasn't that one. I found it in some book, though.
To increase or enlarge, to add to.
Okay. That's from the same derivative as Joseph. He's adding. Okay. That may be kind of ironic, too. Here. Okay. Now, see if Joseph's the one that's speaking. I don't know. I may be reading too much into it, but it's kind of tantalizing anyway. Yeah, he is, but... Oh, yeah, let's see.
He's recounting.
Okay.
Or...
And, you know, he's remembering what Joseph had said. He said, and you said to your servants, if your youngest brother does not come down with you, you will not see my face again. So it was Joseph that said, you will not see my face again. You don't bring your brother, so forth. And, maybe there is some irony there. I don't know. Okay. Are we satisfied with 24 now? I think that was pretty straightforward. 25, that's fairly short. Doug, maybe you can squeeze that in before the bell rings. Shivaru. Okay. Okay. And our father said, return, obtain for us a little food. Okay, good. They give you a footnote there, obtain. And so you got return and obtain as rations or provisions for us, lanu, a little food. Okay, we'll just finish up the last one tomorrow and then move on.
Okay.
Do you have a question, Eric? Oh, yeah. If you want the translation, I'll just read the translation of it, and then we'll look at it a little bit more tomorrow if there's questions. In 26 would be, and we said we cannot go down if our youngest brother is not with us. If our younger brother is with us, then we will go down, for we cannot see the face of the man if our youngest brother is not with us. So in other words, he's just recounting before Joseph the conversation he had with his father. Okay, so we'll cover the details on that tomorrow. And look ahead in lesson 41. We've already given the dates for the quizzes on this last section. So lesson 41 is just a complications on PL, and really PL is a nice one. This is the last chapter we'll have on it. And one yos, one nuns, one gutturals are all okay. The hollows are rare, so all we have is three olive, three hay, and geminate. And even then, the three hay are the only ones that are even any problem, and they're not much of a problem once you know the rest of it. So PL's nice. Wait till we get to Hifil. I think it's about 5-6 chapters that deal with peculiarities on those. Okay. So be it. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Eric and I were talking about 1 Timothy 3:16.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
It's a real interesting...
If we take the reading with host?
Yes. If you take it with host, it gets kind of strange.
It does get strange. It really does. Because there's nothing very proximate. The only thing that's proximate is mysterion, and that's neuter. And so it can't refer to that. And so, but the only thing...